This is WSIU in Focus. I'm Jennifer Fuller, talking with Carl Holtz, who is the chief Washington correspondent for the New York Times, visiting Carbondale as a guest of the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute. Carl, thanks for coming in.
It's great to be here.
The topic of your discussion is politics in the age of Trump. I wonder, is there a short answer to how have things changed?
Very different. You know, it's a totally different world in Washington right now. And, you know, we're just at the beginning of the second year, really, in some ways, of the Trump administration. So everyone's adjusting, but it's totally different than what we've seen before. You know, the White House typically wants to project, you know, calm and efficiency and no one getting rattled. And they don't seem to mind projecting quite the opposite of that, really.
We had started to see a polarization in Washington, in Congress, and even in the national parties themselves. Has that just escalated, or is there a difference between what's going on?
Yeah, I think there is a difference. So you're right. I mean, the parties have been pretty locked in, really, since, I mean, in some ways, I would say 2006, when the Democrats were able to come back and get control of the Congress. But I do think that it's escalated right now to a new degree. And, you know, the Republicans are standing pretty strongly with President Trump right now. And there's a lot of Democrats and others in Washington, you know, in the advocacy groups and lobbying community are like, you know, are the Republicans going to break away? And what we've seen so far is with these midterm elections coming, you know, big election season, that Republicans in Congress realize they need Trump supporters, especially to get through their primaries, and they're hanging in there with the president, and it's creating a pretty tense atmosphere. You know, you have, on the one hand, the Democrats and a lot of other folks in Washington worried about the president firing the special counsel, and at the same time, the Republicans in the House are saying, let's get rid of the special counsel. So that's a pretty natural point of conflict there.
We also have begun to see, and this started several years before even the 2016 election, members of Congress saying, I'm done with this. I need to get out of, you know, outside the beltway, get away from this. This month, even Speaker Ryan has decided that he won't seek re-election. What in your mind is causing this, and is there an end to this pendulum swing?
You know, I think what's causing it to some degree is Congress isn't fun anymore. You know, there's a part of it that you used to want to go there and do something. Almost everyone who went to Congress had a project that they wanted to accomplish, and now that's not the case anymore. Paul Ryan, that was very unusual for a speaker to quit 7 months before the election, because he's literally giving up all his leverage right then. He's a lame duck, and it's causing some problems. Charlie Dent, a congressman from Pennsylvania, sort of a centrist Republican, he just kind of threw up his hands the other day and said, well, I've already said I was going to retire, and now I'm just going to quit right now, right, and maybe force a special election. So I do think you see a lot of people just abandoning ship because, you know, it's no fun. They get beat up by their constituents. They get beat up by the media. But you're right, and it's a pendulum. You know, my experience with politics is 40 years as a newspaper reporter, so that's probably a lot of experience, is that it swings, right? And, you know, it'll swing back in the other direction. But I think that there's just a lot of dissatisfaction with politics as a part of the explanation for President Trump. People wanted to shake things up. Some of the people who are in there right now don't like being shaken that hard. But I don't really see, I think the big changes in politics are probably going to come maybe after the census, after reapportionment. So we've got a few years to go here into the 2022 cycle, if you can even look down the road that far.
Yeah, for people who are not familiar, then they'll take the census in 2020, but that doesn't really take effect in terms of representation.
2 years later,
until
right,
the next
redraw
election.
All the districts. And I think you might get a bit of a change then. There's a big push on by the Democrats to have a less partisan reapportionment. So we'll see what happens. But we're kind of locked into this battle right now.
Do things change at all, do you think, after this November
election?
Well,
it depends who wins. You know, if the Democrats can win the House, that will definitely change things in Washington, because then you have Democratic committee chairs, you have Democratic speaker, whether it's Nancy Pelosi or someone else. So that gives them a real way to challenge the president. I mean, it's a possibility that the Democrats could even get the Senate back, though it's really the races are not to their advantage this year. So that would be a big, big change if Democrats can get in. However, if Republicans hang on, you know, by the bare minimum in the House, and we're kind of going to be the same place we are now, where there no one will really have the leverage to get anything done, and then it'll take until 2020.
I wonder, there are some people that are starting to ask, is this the point that the United States sees a strong third party candidate or movement? Do you think that that will happen?
You know, it almost seems structurally impossible, and it would take so long to do it. I mean, Illinois, the home of John Anderson, you know, one of the great third-party candidates, and that was a long time ago, and we really haven't seen, you know, Ross Perot. And it just is our political structure, the parties, which are weak right now, weirdly enough, but they're also hard to displace. I mean, I think it would take... It'll take years and years. Not to say that it can't happen in the future, but that, you know, right now, I don't see it. But I think there will be people talking about third-party presidential candidates in the next election because the Democratic Party is moving to the left. No one denies that, you know, sort of in response. And there's going to be some people who are going to try and fill that middle. But whether you can do it, you know, people talk about a Mike Bloomberg, who's a super rich guy and could fund a lot of this himself. But even then, you know, you just don't have that infrastructure that you need to get on the ballot and in all the states. So I don't see it, but I think that it will be good if people at least get out there and start talking about it.
Sure. Carl Hulse is the chief Washington correspondent for the New York Times and a guest of the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute at SIU Carbondale. Thanks for your time.
Hey, great to be here. Thank you.